Evening. How's everybody doing? Doing good, doing good. Good, I'm glad to hear that. Because you know, what do we say? It's a good day when you're on this side of the dirt. You've got breath in your lungs because God's got a purpose for you. He's giving you one more day for a reason. And if you want to know what that reason is, all you got to do is ask Him. Because that's the great thing about God, is He doesn't hide stuff from you. If you want to know something, just ask Him. And He'll always tell you. Well. Hey, buddy, go ahead and throw that picture up. So last week we started a message called Wisdom for Dummies. Right? Wisdom for Dummies. Anybody remember that message?
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about, just a little recap. We talked about where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talked about a man named who? King Solomon. The wisest man. Because he asked for wisdom above all else. Because, wisdom is an important thing. Because there's a lot of really smart people in the world, but not a lot of people with wisdom. Because knowledge without wisdom is, you'll be destroyed. See, I want to, because when you don't operate in godly wisdom, you look foolish, right? You look foolish when you're not operating in God's wisdom. And see, what I want to talk about is continuing that idea of wisdom tonight. All right, the book of Proverbs is a really great book in the Bible. It was authored by King Solomon, the guy we talked about last week. He was the wisest man, and he wrote a book all about wisdom. So if the wisest man writes a book about wisdom, we should read it. You know, just like we want to read all these books about, you know, these famous people and how they got famous so we can emulate that. Well, it's the same thing with the book of Proverbs. We need to read it in order to get that knowledge and that wisdom of God in our spirits. And the great thing about the book of Proverbs is it's straightforward. If you read it, it's just straightforward. It's simple language expressing wisdom. You don't have to have some big advanced degree. You don't have to know all this Greek and Hebrew words and what all these things mean and all these prophecies and stuff. It's just, you read it and it tells you exactly what it says. Now, we'll look at Proverbs 12 and 1. We're talking about wisdom. I want to talk about specifically the wisdom of a teachable spirit. Proverbs 12:1, it says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But one who hates correction is what? Stupid." I didn't say it. The Bible said it. So I can't get in trouble for saying the word stupid because it's in the Bible. Okay? See, one who hates correction is stupid. Wisdom is all about attitude. It's, am I teachable? That's what we want to talk about tonight. The wisdom of a teachable spirit. Ask yourself that question. Am I teachable? Can I listen and can I grow? Because see, it's not about your aptitude or your ability. It's about your teachability. Because you can have all of the ability in the world, but if you can't, no one can tell you anything, you're worthless. Okay, I'm a big fan of the NFL. Okay, I really love baseball. That's my one true passion after Jesus and my wife. It's baseball. Then I really like NFL. Now, if anybody that watches the NFL, if you've paid attention within the last couple weeks, there's been some issues going on with a man. I'll say his name. His name is Antonio Brown. Okay? He is literally the greatest wide receiver currently in the league. The man has got talent for days. he's got more talent than I've ever even thought of when it comes to football. But here's the problem. He was on one team, and the coaches couldn't coach him. And he fought with the other players, and he fought with the quarterback. So they said, all right, Antonio, we're going to get rid of you. We're going to send you from Pittsburgh all the way across the country to the Raiders. So he gets over there, and he starts fighting with the coaches and just having arguments and just unteachable. And the crazy thing is, before he could even play a game for his new team, they cut him because he was unteachable. So then the New England Patriots come along. For anybody that doesn't know, I don't like them. Don't like the Patriots. So they get him. He gets to play one game with them. And then this last week, they cut him too. Because during the last week, he was unteachable. He was uncoachable. He wouldn't listen to the people that were in authority over him. So what's that example? You can have all of the talent in the world, but if people can't use you, you're useless. See, he's the only man that has three different jerseys on the clearance rack at the same time. he's gotten that distinction. But see, being teachable with an average talent is way more valuable in life than having all of the talent and being unteachable. See, if you're teachable with an average talent, you'll go far in God. You'll go far in life. You'll go farther in school. And you'll even go farther on your job if you're of average talent, but you can be taught. See, that's the thing I want you to listen to. It's about being teachable. Wisdom is being teachable and correctable. Because so many times people are proud to be stubborn. You ever met anybody like that? You're like, you ain't going to tell me nothing. I know it all. I heard somebody say that today in the line. They're talking to their mama. They say, I'm not going to name any names, Angel. But really, she was joking, and it was hilarious at the time. But so many people, it ain't a joke. It is not a joke. And they think it's awesome to be stubborn. They think it's a badge of honor to not be able to listen. I've got people in my own family that are like that. You can't tell me what to do. I'm an adult. Well, you're acting like a child many times. I can do what I want. I heard that today. I do what I want. Oh, man. But see, the thing is, that's not something to be proud of. Because what did it say in Proverbs 12:1? One who hates correction is what? Stupid. They're stupid. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Thank you, Sam. See, that's the thing. So many people are like that. Even I'm dealing that with my own son. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Carson. When I try to teach him something, the first thing he'll say, and his mama can attest to it, he says, I know. I know. I said, really? You're 8. How do you know? So what I've started to do with him is when he says, I know, I'll ask him a question that I know he doesn't know the answer to. And then he'll say, well, I don't know that exactly. That's my response. Hallelujah. The other day we were coming home from I was picking him up from school, and I was asking him different stuff. I try to ask him about his day, and we're asking about things that he knows. And I was trying to teach him something. He started in the, I know, Dad. I said, okay, if you are so smart, son, give me a number that's less than 0. And you know what he said to me? There's numbers less than 0? I said, yeah, they're called negative numbers, son. See, right then, he wanted to cop the attitude, oh, I know. But see, I'm trying to teach him. Be teachable, son, because you don't know everything. Because in Romans 12:16, it says that. It says, don't think you know everything. Right there at the very end of the scripture. And don't think you know it all. That's the New Living Translation. I love that scripture. Because here's the deal. We cannot be a disciple of Jesus without a teachable spirit. I want you to get that. You cannot call yourself a disciple of Jesus if you don't have a teachable spirit. Because you have to have a heart that is teachable, a spirit that is teachable. But here's the thing, though. You have to make that decision. Am I teachable? Am I going to put myself to the side and listen because, what, Romans 12:16? Don't think you know it all. See, that's the thing. Is no matter how much I want people to be teachable, they have to decide, I want to be teachable. Now, we're going to talk about what are the five characteristics of an unteachable spirit. Okay? For those that are riding along, five characteristics of an unteachable spirit. The very first characteristic is chronic failure. Chronic failure. What I mean by that is you keep failing in the same area over and over and over. Whether it's with a person, or whether it's with your finances, or on your job. If you chronically fail in an area, you don't have a teachable spirit. In John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into what? Some of the truth? No. Part of the truth? All truth. See, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth, for He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears, and He will also declare unto you what is to come. The Spirit of truth here is the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus went back to heaven, He left us the Holy Spirit, the other comforter. The Holy Spirit is there to help guide you, direct you. And it says there, where'd it go? For He doesn't speak of His own, He will speak whatever He hears, and He will also declare to you what is to come. See, many times the Holy Spirit is in our ear, whispering, telling us, hey, go this way. Don't go that way. Go over here. But see, if you're always failing in the same area, you're not listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And see, that causes you to have an unteachable spirit. So what I want to say is don't live in chronic failure. Because when you constantly fail the test, you've got to retake the test. With the things of God, you don't get a pass. If you fail the test, you got to take it again. And so many times I see it in people's lives, they're taking the same test over and over, year after year, because they won't shut up and listen. They won't shut up and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. All right. Second characteristic is an argumentative and defensive nature. You ever met somebody like that? No matter what you tell them, no matter what you do for them, they want to argue with you. You know anybody like that? If you can't think of anybody, it might be you. Okay? I want you to think about that. Because I've got people in my own life that when you try to help them, what do they say? I can do this. I don't need your help. I'm grown. I hate hearing that. Oh, man. Proverbs 9:8. It says, don't rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. See, a mocker is a scoffer, a person who knows it all. It's saying, don't rebuke those type of people because what? They're going to hate you. But a wise man, what happens when you rebuke him? He's going to love you. Because a wise person, a person with wisdom, can see you're trying to help. You're trying to help guide them, help lead them down the path. And then what will happen? They'll love you because they see the love you're bringing to them. But a mocker? Nah. Nothing but hate. And also goes on to say, instruct a wise man and he will, what? He will be wiser still. So when you instruct a wise man, he will grow in his wisdom. And teach a righteous man, and he will learn what? More. He'll learn more. See, that's the deal. If you're argumentative and you have that defensive nature, it's a telltale sign that you're unteachable. Because if you're always wanting to argue with folks, you always what? You think your way is the only way. You know, talking about the NFL, even the highest paid athletes, they have coaches and trainers that they listen to. These people are making millions of dollars, but they realize the value of being teachable. That they maybe don't know it all. All right, third thing. The third characteristic of an unteachable spirit is a person that isolates themselves in a time of difficulty. You know, this is the person that when something's going on, they say, I'm mad at you and I'm going to the house and I'm never talking to you again. You ever had that? I've had that in my life where you try to help somebody and they hate you, and what happens? They say, I'm taking my ball and I'm going to the house. And they're going to hate you. They begin to isolate themselves. Proverbs 18, 1 and 2 says this, one who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. He rebels against all sound judgment. And I've seen that. When people, they withdraw from other people when someone is trying to speak into their lives. Because what? They're rebelling against sound judgment. And a fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off his opinion. A fool only wants to show off their opinion, and they get mad if someone else has an opinion. Whew. Man. You see, when you begin to isolate yourself and you pull yourself away from teaching, it makes you a prime target for the enemy, the devil, to pick you off. Because when there's no one around, no one to help you, it's when the devil comes in and picks you off. One by one by one. Because you've got nobody to stand with you. You've got no one with you. You see, in a hard time or in an argument, you know where I want to be? Right in the middle of God. Right here. So many times we see that. Somebody gets mad, what's the first thing they do? Lay out of church. Or they stop giving their tithes. Because they want to hurt God. Hey, if I'm having a problem, the first place I want to be is right in the middle of God. Right in the middle of God and His people. The people that love Him and they love me. Because it's important to seek comfort and wisdom from God and His people. You know, when we're going through something and we ask God to take it away from us and He doesn't, have you ever had that? Have you ever had a problem? And you pray to God over and over, God, take this away from me. And you wake up the next day and it's still there. You know what God's trying to do? He's trying to teach you something. You see, that's when my prayer turns from, God, take it away, to God, reveal what you want me to learn. Reveal what you want me to learn in this situation. Help me to grow in knowledge. Because so many times we get stuck because you didn't learn a lesson that God wanted you to learn. See, the wisdom of a teachable spirit. Number four characteristic is people that transfer blame. You ever met that? You ever had somebody like that? You get on to them, and they want to talk about what everybody else was doing? Or they want to talk about how that their mama was mean to them. They want to blame their mama for what they're doing. I didn't get enough cookies when I was a kid, so that's why I'm mean to everybody. Just saying. See, I've seen that over and over. I have family members, blood family, that you cannot talk to. Because if you say, hey, you're doing this wrong. They want to talk about everything that you did years ago. Remember that time when you pushed me off the jungle gym? We were 8. We're in our 30s. Get over it. Stop transferring blame. Stop blaming everybody else for your problems. Because see, unfortunately, that's part of our humanity. Because it started out way back in the beginning. What did the first people do? Genesis 3 and 12. Adam and Eve. So God comes down and he says, you're doing wrong, Adam. And the man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it. So Adam, the very first man, was saying, you, God, you gave her to me. It's all you, dude. That's why I did what I did. Because you gave me the woman and she gave me the fruit. So he pushes the blame off on Eve. And what does Eve do? Verse 13, it says, then the Lord asked the woman, what have you done? She said, the serpent deceived me. See, passing the buck. That is the hallmark of an unteachable spirit, is someone that's always passing the buck. But see, a wise man says, it was me. I did it. Because a wise man can recognize it. I did it. I named it. I did it, and I can quit it. But a fool thinks that they're right in their own eyes. So they're going to keep doing it. See, a wise man, admit it and quit it. Amen. Admit it and quit it. Man, they don't pass the blame. Oh, I love telling stories of my boys. So on Thursday nights, I love this story from week before last. Thursday nights, this is a Celebrate Recovery meeting, right? My wife, she does those. She leads those with Brother Larry. I drove the short straw and have to stay home with the two boys. It is what it is. Many times I'll be working in my office, and it was week before last. I heard a bunch of ruckus in the living room. And I walk out, and it's just the two of them. And they're, what, 8 and 4? How much trouble can they get into? Oh, it looked like a bomb went off in the living room. There's stuff everywhere. And I call them and I said, boys, what are you doing? Who did this? You know what they did? What did they do? Look at each other and said, it was him. I said, somebody needs a whipping. Who needs a whipping? Colton looks at Carson and says, Carson needs a whipping. What does Carson do in response? Colton needs a whipping. See, it's funny when you're 4 and 8. But it ain't funny when you're 38. Ooh, get that. It's funny when you're a kid, but it ain't funny when you're an adult doing the same dang thing. Because what's going to happen? You got to do the right thing. You got to say, it was me, Lord. I messed up. Forgive me, Lord. And help me to quit it. Whew. Number 5. Characteristic of an unteachable spirit is people that surround themselves with people that will only agree with them. Woo! Or people that are threatened by people with a different opinion. You ever met that? They get mad at people that don't have their opinion. I know some folks that they'll get downright mad at you if you don't agree with them at all times. At all times. Man. Because see, an unteachable spirit makes it all about me. It's all about me and what I want. It's I get the glory. So a person with an unteachable spirit, they don't want to share any of that glory. It's all me. Look what I did. Not look what God did through me or God did with me or what I shut up and let God do. It's look what I did. Look at me. One of my favorite comedians is Jerry Seinfeld. Love that show from the 90s, Seinfeld. One of the things that he was in an interview and he was quoted by saying, I surround my people, or myself with people that are funnier than me. You see, that's the thing. When you got a teachable spirit, you let people be better than you. You're not threatened by them. And he had a show that ran for how many years with people that were funnier than him. And he was okay with that. Because you know why? He was laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
See, it didn't, it wasn't, it had his name on it. Yeah, he created it, but it wasn't all about him. That's what I want to teach you, what I want to show you. Because look, the root of an unteachable spirit, the root, when you get down to it, of an unteachable spirit is pride. Many times, it's pride. You know what the Bible says? Pride becomes before the fall. See, pride, and what we're talking about here is excess pride. You know, you should take pride in what you do. Be like, hey, I did something awesome, or God helped me do something awesome. But many times the root of an unteachable spirit is, look what I did, excess pride. Or sometimes the root can be insecurity. Sometimes an unteachable spirit just comes just straight from being lazy. Just being lazy. Just being lazy. Proverbs 26:16 says, in his own eyes, a slacker is wiser than seven men who can answer sensibly. In his own mind, a slacker is wiser than seven men who can answer sensibly. See? A lazy person says, I know it all. An unteachable person says, I know it all. A wise man says, hey, you know what? I don't know everything. I don't know everything. And a wise man will learn from other people's mistakes. You see, some people are wise because they learned the hard way. They had to go through a bunch of stuff to get the wisdom that they have now. They may have hurt people along the way, hurt their family, or lost possessions, lost things, but they were smarter because of it. Okay? Some people like to learn the hard way. Me, I like to learn the easy way. I like to learn from your example. See, that's the thing. Wisdom is learning from other people's example. You don't have to go the hard road. You don't have to, you know, many times we talk about Joseph. He was in the pit. He went to, Potiphar's house, got thrown in jail, and he was in the palace. And we talk about going from the pit to the palace. You see all that hardship in the between. But how much easier would have Joseph's life been if he would have just shut up in the beginning and had wisdom instead of telling his brothers all the stuff that he said to get him get thrown in the pit in the first place? See, I can avoid many pitfalls in my life by learning from other people. You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You don't have enough time in your life to make all the mistakes yourself. Learn from somebody else's mistake. When someone tries to teach into you and talk to you and say, don't do this because it hurt, because I did it and it hurt me, learn from it. Don't do what they did. Don't follow after the thing. Don't just do the experience so you have that experience. So you say, oh, look, Lord, look what Jesus brought me through. But the greater testimony is, look what Jesus kept me out of. What did he keep me out of? Because see, you don't have enough time. There's not enough hours in the day to do all the screw-ups yourself. See, that's the passion. That's what I want to express is, don't have that unteachable spirit. Because it's going to lead to nothing but heartache.
Right.
But if you shut up and you listen to the things of God, there's so many things that He'll keep you out of that you don't have to have that heartache. You don't have to carry those scars around of the things that happened to you or the things that people said to you. If you shut up and you listen to God. And you have that teachable spirit. See, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. It's having that teachable spirit. Now, what does a teachable spirit look like? I'll give you a couple characteristics. Four characteristics of a teachable spirit. The very first one is humility. Humility. Matthew 23:12. It says, "But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The first thing of having a teachable spirit is knowing it's not all about you, sister. It's not all about you. It's stop self-promoting. Because you know what? God will exalt you at the proper time. Amen. If you're always trying to promote yourself, you're going to miss God. And you may get something before it was your time. And when you get something before it's time, it's useless to you. Humility says, I'm not that great, but I serve one that is. And humility, part of humility is passing on the credit. Passing the credit. Because that's something I try to do. As you know, I can say, look what I did, or look what we did. Look what we did. That's humility. Number two, accepting correction and input. Realize that you don't have all the answers. Honest, helpful input will help you grow. Proverbs 9:9. It says, instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will learn more. Proverbs 1:5, it says, a wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. See, accept correction. Because you know what? You don't know it all. Number three, seek wise counsel in times of decision and difficulty. See, if you want to have a teachable spirit, seek counsel from other people. See, if you realize I don't have all the answers, well, then you seek out the people that do. You seek out people that have been through it before. That's the learning from their mistakes. You say, hey, what did you do in this situation? So you can learn from it. You can either say, I need to do that, or I need to not do that. Proverbs 11:14 says this, without guidance, people fall, but with many counselors, there is deliverance. In the New Living Translation, it says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. And the advisors you're talking about is many wise advisors. Because everybody will give you their opinion on what you need to do, but not all of them are the right opinion or coming from wise people. See, having a teachable spirit seeks out wise counsel in times of difficulty. You learn. You actively learn from other people's mistakes. Number four, submit to authority and stay accountable. We're all under the authority of someone. In our jobs, in our lives, there's somebody over us. And the sooner you realize that, the happier you're going to be. And see, submitting to authority means even submitting to authority, submitting to people that you're smarter than. Have you ever had that? I did. Went through several years of my life where I had a boss that, I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I was way smarter than they ever thought about. I've forgot more things than they have ever even known. Okay? But God said, submit to them, son. They're your authority. It doesn't matter that you know more than them. It matters that they're over you. Because if you're going to submit to authority, it's learning to submit also to God. Because in Romans 13:1 it says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And as I was going through these couple years of my life when I worked for the state, yeah, I knew way more than they ever thought about. But I submitted. And there were some things I learned from them that I would have never learned otherwise. If I would have had that unteachable spirit, said, I'm smarter than you. I can't learn anything from you. You're a moron. But see, submitting to someone, says there's always something you can learn from someone else, no matter who they are. Sometimes it's learning what to do. Sometimes it's learning what not to do. See, that's the thing. God placed them there for a reason. Learn from them. That's what I want to encourage you guys with, is wisdom. And we've been talking about this, wisdom, getting a godly wisdom. Because without that, you got nothing. Okay? And what I want everyone to ask themselves right now, just take a moment and honestly look at your life and say, am I teachable? Am I teachable? If you're not, figure it out. If you are, awesome. But see, that's only a question that you and God can answer. Am I teachable? And that's what I encourage everyone to be, is to be teachable. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the things of God. And importantly, listen when someone tries to speak into your life. Because many times they're trying to do it to help you. And I want to encourage you as you go this week, begin to develop that teachable spirit within yourself. Begin to develop that. Because we're all in this together. Right? We're all in this together. And I want to see each and every one of you succeed in the things of God. That's why we're talking about this stuff. Alright? Now, bow your head and we'll profess the blessing over everybody. So Lord, you see each and every person here tonight, God. And I ask that you would draw their hearts to you. Soften their hearts and their spirits to be teachable, to listen to the things of you, God. Lord, help them to begin to recognize all of your prompting as they're going through their day and their week. And help them to love someone else just like you have loved us. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.